let me ask that again. Are we ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
Better. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3, we're beginning a new series of messages that I've entitled The Heart of God. You know, a lot of people want to get closer to God, and they want to see how they can get closer. If there's one question in my 31 years of full-time ministry that I've had from people, and that is this one question that has been asked of me the most: Joe, how do I get closer to God? How do I get closer to God? Who would agree with me this morning that if we knew the heart of God, if we knew what makes God tick, what He values, what He prizes, what He treasures in His heart, then we can, in essence, by plugging into His heart, we will automatically grow closer. So by knowing the heart of God, then we will be able to plug in to His heart so that we can grow closer to God. All right? Say amen if you're with me.
Amen.
All right, let's jump into verse 10 of Philippians 3. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or arrived at or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or comprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for these moments in Your Word as we plumb Your Word, the depths of it. Help us to know, Lord, very clearly in our hearts what it takes to grow closer to You in a relationship, in an intimate, personal relationship through Christ with You, Lord. Father, prepare our hearts now as we seek to explore how to understand and know Your heart and how to have Your heart in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The scenery was a hospital, and there was a man that was deathly ill, and his wife was waiting for the doctor to come out of the emergency room where her husband was at. And the doctor finally came out, and the wife was waiting, had been waiting for him with bated breath, and the doctor told the man's wife, the doctor told the man's wife, ma'am, your husband is a very sick man. And he proceeds to tell her, but there are three things you can do, and really beyond can, you must do to help him get better in his health. And she was all ears. Okay, doctor, what is it? Well, number one, you must cook his favorite meals. Number two, you must serve him at his every beck and call. Number three, you must be intimate every time he needs you to be intimate with him. So that scenario was done. So the lady finally is driving her husband home, and the husband was in the back seat because he couldn't sit in the front with all the stuff, you know, all the tubes and stuff hanging out of him. And he's like, darling, what did the doctor say? She said, forget it. You're not going to make it. And all the women said, I'm going to pray for your husbands. You're not willing to give it up for your husband, ladies. All right. So why do I bring up that story? Because that lady, did that lady have her husband's heart? No. You know, it's interesting how we can talk about our desires, but when the chips are down, our actions don't follow what we really say sometimes about what we desire. We desire to be closer to God, but... dot, dot, dot. We want to grow intimate with the Lord, but ... Don't tell me what it's going to take for me to do for me to know the heart of God. You know, I'm just reading, was telling the Sunday school class that I was just reading through Exodus, and I noticed that when Moses went up to the mountain, that he took several people with him. He took Aaron with him. He took Abiathar, and there was some other guy, or Nadab and Abihu. There were men that went up with him. But listen, he was the one that went the highest alone. The other men stayed behind on different levels of the mountain. And I think that is a correct picture of all of our relationship with God. Some of us are content, like the Israelites, to be at the base of the mountain and keep God at an arm's length. Because that mountain scares us, and all these billows of smoke, and all the fire, and the thunder, and the lightning on top of that mountain, that scares us. So listen, God, you stay over there, and I'll stay over here, and we can happily coexist with that kind of distance. You know, there are some people that have that attitude toward God. Then there are others, like the men I mentioned, you know, they went up a certain way, but then they could go up no farther to be with the Lord. And of course, there was Aaron, who went even farther up the mountain. But then the one that went the farthest was Moses. And that's why God called him a friend of God. That they had conversed with each other intimately, friend to friend and face to face. Who would agree with me this morning that Moses had the heart of God? Amen. He had the heart of God. He knew what God valued. He knew what made God tick. He knew what God wanted. He knew the will of God. In fact, the book of Psalms says that while the Israelites knew the works of the Lord, they knew the miracles, the wonders, the signs, that Moses knew the ways of the Lord. The ways of the Lord are higher. You know, a lot of people run around saying, well, I want to know miracles. I want to see miracles. You know, my friend, out beyond miracles, I want to see the face of God. I want to know the ways of God. I don't just want to settle with the works. I don't want to stay at the bottom of the mountain, happily coexisting with God, and saying, you stay over there, and I'll stay over here. Just don't intrude in my life, and don't tell me how I should live my life. I will try to be nice most of my life. You know, my friend, if you're listening over the radio, if you're listening through YouTube, if you're listening to this video or here, if that is your attitude, you do not have a relationship with God. Well, Joe, Pastor Julia, how can you say that? That's arrogant. Well, I'm telling you right now, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the heart of God. I love what Paul said. He said, listen, I want to know him. I want to know Jesus in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings. I don't know, Paul was saying, I want to know what it means to suffer for the sake of Christ. Who believes with me that there is a special crown for people who, number one, suffer horribly for the sake of Christ, and number two, pay the ultimate price and sacrifice their lives, or their lives are taken for the sake of Jesus Christ? There's a special reward in heaven for them. It's the crown of life. So the basic gist, listen, church family, if we have the heart of God, Jesus will then, we will have no problems making Jesus our Lord and our Savior. We will surrender to his lordship. We will surrender to his ways. We will surrender to his will. Come on, somebody. We will surrender to the Lord. We will say, not me, Lord, but you. Less of me, Jesus, more of you. I must decrease, Jesus, you must increase in my life. Amen?
Amen.
That is having the heart of God. Paul said, I have not apprehended. I don't claim to have attained it all. That's what Paul said. I don't claim that I've attained it. You know, none of us here have attained it. We have not grasped, but I love what he said. He said, listen, I have made it a point, the way he said is God apprehended me, and then in turn, I'm going to pursue him to find out why he got a hold of my life. In 1982, April 1st, the Lord apprehended me. He apprehended me. I was not at a church. I was not with other people. I was not. There was no church building. There was no aisle to walk down to. There was no membership card to fill out. But I knelt by my bed in my bedroom, and I opened the big Bible that my parents had. And I tried reading it, and for the first time, you know, the Bible started making sense to me that night. I had tried reading the Bible before then, and it just seemed a lot of jumbled words. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want, these were my exact words, I don't want to go to hell. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Be my spiritual leader and be the forgiver of my sins. Amen. And my life just took a different trajectory from then. Do we have the heart of God? You know, who remembers playing tag as a kid?
Yeah.
Tag, you're it. I always played it, but because I was portly, I couldn't run. That's why I'm a runner now. So they always picked on me. They'd tag your head, so then I'd have to try to chase somebody down to tag them. Well, you know what Paul is saying in essence in Philippians 3, the Lord tagged me, and I must pursue him to find out the full purpose of my calling in life. Who believes with you that not all of us are called to full-time ministry? We should have more amens to that. Right? But even if you're not in full-time formal ministry, who agrees with me that your secular job is your ministry? Who still agrees with me that you are a minister of the Lord by simply being a follower of Jesus Christ? Amen? You don't have to have credentials. You don't have to have a reverend. You don't have to have a PhD at the end of your name. You don't have to have any of that. So long as the Spirit of God lives in you, my friend, you are a minister. And that is your full-time calling. You can bless people. You know, I've got to believe that some of you have more inroads to people than I would, simply because I am a preacher. Who agrees with me that some people just bristle at the thought of being with or next to a preacher?
Amen.
Especially you, Pastor Joe. We were at that ordination service, Cindy and I, on Friday. We met some really cool pastors, and right, babe? And the thing I like about meeting new people, I love making them laugh, because all of a sudden their defenses come down. And so I was making them laugh and keeping them rolling and all that fun stuff. But I do that so that there's not that barrier of, well, you're a preacher and you're super holy and you're going to judge me by looking at me. And no, I use humor to try to bring down people's walls and to say, hey, listen, I'm human just like you are. I'm fallible just like you are. Right? I don't have a high horse, baby. There's no high horse with me, because I know my feet are made of clay. But back to the point, listen, do we pursue the heart of God? God has pursued us. Now we need to in turn pursue him to find out his heart. Paul said, I press on toward the mark. I want to keep knowing the heart of God. Who is with me this morning?
Amen.
Right? Isn't that why we exist? Isn't that why we live? The Westminster Catechism, the shorter version, reads something like this. The chief end of people is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Well, I want to enjoy my God, but I want to enjoy my God by knowing what's in his heart. Okay, so in the balance of the message, let's talk about what is foremost on God's heart. And throughout the weeks, we're going to look at different things that are in God's heart. I mean, if I'm going to pursue the heart of God, I've got to know what's on His heart. Number one, listen, to get to the heart of God, you must go through the Son. Jesus, who agrees with me? Jesus is front and center, foremost on the heart of God. John chapter 4, please. We're going to look at this verse, or 6 rather, sorry. Verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give for you. On Him, on whom? The Son of Man, on Jesus, God the Father has placed His what? On His own Son, God the Father has placed His seal of approval. So a quick question. Has God the Father placed that same seal that He placed on Jesus on anybody else?
Yes. No?
Is anybody else the Savior of the world?
No.
Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Right? 1 Timothy chapter 2, I want to say it's verse 15. Don't quote me on the verse, but it is the chapter. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So on how many people has God placed His seal of approval?
One.
Not Buddha. Not Allah. Not secular humanism. You know, it really boggles my brain, church family. Listen, the devil, he's brilliant, but he's also dumb. Because he'll attack the real name of the one through whom we must get to God, the name of Jesus. Nobody, I've never heard in society anybody attack the name of Buddha. Oh, Buddha, damn it. Oh, Allah. Why is it always Jesus Christ? Yoo-hoo. Because the devil attacks the real name. Amen. The greatest name in the universe, Jesus Christ. Did I lose some of you when I said, damn it? Let me remind you people, how many of y'all know that we live in a real world with real people? And we got to keep it real if we're going to connect. Listen, I'm not just preaching to the saints. I want to preach to everybody else. So the devil overplays his hands by attacking the authentic name. So who or what is at the center of God's heart? If I'm going to pursue the heart of God, it must always go through His Son, Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus say, He who receives me receives Him who sent me? Right? I mean, it's a package deal. If I want God the Father, I've got to get God the Son first. No one comes to me, or no one goes to the Father except through me. Me. So to get to the heart of God, I must have, and I know most of us do here, we must have a personal, living, loving relationship with Jesus Christ, don't we? That's the open door to the heart of God, number one. Okay, next scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, out of God's Word translation, God has rescued us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of His Son. Notice, whom He does what?
Us.
Who does God love?
Jesus.
Didn't Jesus hear the voice of God more than once in His ministry? in his baptism, "This is my beloved Son. This is the Son whom I, God the Father, love." Friends, it's not complicated. Society likes to muddy the water. Society likes to say, "Oh, you're just so narrow-minded. There are so many paths to enlightenment. Oh, I don't need your kind of enlightenment. I have the truth in Jesus Christ." Did Buddha die for your sins? Was Allah crucified? Those dudes are still in their grave. Or at least their bones are. Jesus is alive and sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Listen, the point is, God loves his Son. If I want to get to the heart of God, I must always and only go through Jesus. Always and only go through Jesus. I must love the Son. I must wholeheartedly devote my life to the Son, because in so doing, I will have the heart of God. I will have the favor of God. Amen? Listen, I've got to believe that, you know, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says that we believers who have accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing available to us. Well, if we love the Son because we're seeking God's heart, then we are walking under an open heaven of blessing.
Amen.
Amen? Who agrees with me that you are walking under an open heaven of blessing?
Amen.
Who loves a life of peace?
Amen.
Listen, I'm too old to fight. I'm not as feisty. I don't have half the emotional energy. I love to live my life at peace. I love to come home from work, take off my shoes, pop on the TV, watch something fun, Family Feud, or watch Judge Judy, whatever the case. Who likes Judge Judy? How many of y'all would agree with me? I know she's a Jew, but she needs Jesus. All right, pray for her. Pray for Judge Judy, Judith Shilin, whatever her last name is. But anyway, and I love to be peaceful in my home. I don't like strife. I hate strife. I don't like drama. That's why I, you know, mind my little P's and Q's, driving my small little Echo Sport from work to home. And then at home, I try to be extra nice to my wife so that everything's on even keel. Right, babe? She's saying yes. So, thanks, Mr. Genius, for your editorial comment. Who's with me, church family? Listen, we must love the Son to get to God's heart. Well, Pastor Joe, that's simple. Well, okay, that's simple. Come back next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord God, for your great love. Help us to pursue your heart. Help us to know you, Lord. Help us to know you on a much deeper level. Help us to know what makes you tick, what you value, what you place your heart into, in the name of Jesus. In the following weeks, help us to understand and know your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.